The longest running and most trusted afternoon sports show in the state of Tennessee. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk on this Tuesday afternoon. It's a game day for Tennessee basketball as the number 6 Volunteers are on the road in Gainesville to take on Florida. I'm John Wilkerson. We've got a lot coming your way, and it's always a pleasure to say hello to Jimmy Hyams. Jimmy, so much to discuss, and obviously a lot of talk about Tennessee football as there is a couple of big searches that are now going on since the news that came down yesterday.
Usually when I take off, all hell breaks loose. This time it's you. Yes. You're the reason for this.
Yes, I'll take that one.
Well, and I'll thank you because I'm glad it's over.
Or at least
that
part.
Yeah, it was
part.
A crazy day. The firing of Jeremy Pruitt, the firing of 2 assistant coaches on the field, the firing of 7 others. It was wild, and still more to come because, as the Chancellor Donde Plowman said yesterday, the investigation is still ongoing. So. And then we have last night, as we knew this was coming, the attorney representing Jeremy Pruitt saying that we're going to fight for his money, so this could be a prolonged situation. Tennessee determined that it is not going to pay Pruitt because they fired him for cause. So this is I'll be interested to see if they eventually reach, John, a negotiated settlement, because the attorney fees could end up being quite expensive.
I don't think there's any question that, as you mentioned, this is not unexpected by any means, and so it will be contested in terms of his reasons for dismissal. Not that he's been dismissed, but the reasons for it in terms of, as you mentioned specifically, cause. So, yes, there will be plenty of hours, billable hours, for attorneys on both sides as we move forward.
Yes, and as we looked into this, I was curious, would Kevin Steele be allowed to hire staff members? Is he going to be allowed to fill the offensive line and defensive line positions? Is he going to be able to extend the contracts of the current assistant coaches? That's yet to be resolved. UT spokesman told me today that they're hoping to get that resolved in the next couple of days, certainly by the end of the week. So we should know something then. I've got to think they need to allow Kevin Steele to hire those positions, because they're not going to hire a head coach for not just weeks. It's going to be months, because you got to hire an athletic director first. And then he's got to get here after getting out of his contract, wherever he is, probably. And then he's going to have to do a search to find somebody. So you're looking at it quite a while before you bring in a head coach. Therefore, I think Steele will eventually be allowed to hire assistant coaches and extend the contracts if he sees fit. Also, with Coach Fulmer's situation, his contract deal, now it runs through December of 2023, and I was told the same thing. They have not resolved that as to how much they're going to pay him. He did get a retention bonus of $150,000 by working through December the 31st, and that bonus is being processed for January, end of January. So that's kind of where we are with Kevin Steele and the contract for Philip Fulmer.
Goodness. It's an interesting night of SEC basketball, including Tennessee at Florida, so we'll have plenty to talk about, but boy, it is one of those things to me, you might as well just settle in, because it is going to be a while before all questions get answered, if indeed all questions ever get answered.
Well, that's true. And here's the thing that's going to be real interesting, John, in my opinion. So the investigation's ongoing. We have not seen the report. We have heard rumors about different things going on, but we've not seen the report. And so Tennessee says, we are not going to pay Pruitt. We fired him for cause. Pruitt's coming back at him, and he wants his money, $12.6 million. What if this thing goes to court, and what if everything that happened within the program is unveiled, dirty laundry? Then that could ruin both of them. That could be a long show cause for Jeremy Pruitt. It could be a long punishment, sanctions for Tennessee. You just wonder who might be ready to go down that road. And maybe both of them decide they don't want to, and so there could be a negotiated settlement. I'm not sure, but I do think that this goes to trial, then it could be an embarrassment for both parties.
Could very well be, and that's why I think that, as you said at the outset, don't be surprised if there isn't some sort of settlement that is reached. Mm-hmm. The question is, would Tennessee's administration be in a position of confidence in terms of what they uncovered in the investigation to really dig in? Or perhaps, as you say, all right, how about if we go to this part of, you know, why don't we go this far down this road as opposed to no farther? So yes. I think it comes down to what Tennessee feels confident and comfortable with, because as you mentioned, it would air all of the dirty laundry, and that's not going to help either side.
No, it's not. And so that's why I think there's still the potential for a settlement, but I'm going to be curious to see how this plays out. And here's the other thing, too. This could drag on for a long time. And so that's why I'm just I'm not sure where this is going to end up, but I'm throwing out the possibility, in my opinion, that they could reach a settlement so that both parties are not further embarrassed by this situation.
I think you're right.
All right, and John, we'll let's see. We got Vince Ferrar is going to join us. Mark Pankratz has got 30 minutes with him. We got a lot of comments from Rick Barnes coming your way as we'll preview the Florida game tonight. Tennessee will play Florida, but Vanderbilt is not going to be playing, and so we'll get into that. Our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters Technology. You need people that you can trust. Vanderbilt has announced they are not going to be – well, the SEC announced they're not going to play Texas A&M on Wednesday, so Vanderbilt did squeeze in a game against Tennessee Saturday. The previous Tuesday they didn't play, and you got to wonder, Vanderbilt women shutting it down – I don't know if the Vanderbilt men are looking in that direction, but, John, this is another situation where they've had to pause activities.
Yes, and as word came out that the women's program has already shut down, you just wonder if how close we might be to the same with Jerry Stackhouse and his program, and it could be completely different circumstances because they were shuttered, managed to play, as you mentioned, Tennessee over the weekend, but now to go through another setback, that has to be very frustrating. And I also wonder what just how involved Greg Sankey and or the SEC office is in regards to encouraging all member schools to continue to press forward, to just do what you can, and we'll see how many games we can get for you.
Here's something that I also wonder about. With men's basketball, the men's basketball tournament makes a ton of money. It makes millions and millions of dollars. And those teams that participate in it get a share of that. And now, even if you don't participate, your conference gets some money, and that's distributed to you. If you shut it down, are they going to say, okay, we're withholding the NCAA tournament money that you would have made? I don't know. I think that is something to consider. But there's not money to be made in the women's tournament. There's tons of money to be made in the men's tournament. And I wonder if that could impact some people's decision about whether they continue with men's basketball or not.
Yeah, could very well. And it is a bit of a different animal, as you were one of the first to talk about Tennessee's situation when it came to football and the bowl game. Tennessee could not compete because of COVID concerns and positive tests, but that would not impact Tennessee getting a share of the bowl revenue from the conference because this was not a probation or self-imposed situation. My guess is this would be night and day difference in terms of all schools being in a position to compete for the SEC tournament, if indeed there is one, because who knows, they might need that week to make up missed games.
Yeah, that's true. So there are a lot of unknowns out there, but I just think the money aspect of it for men's basketball is such a difference than women's that they might, I think that the men's teams would be much more reluctant to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
So in particular, those that have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament. All right, a few other notes out there. The seven assistants that were fired by Tennessee, not counting those that were already announced, which were Brian Niedermeyer and Shelton Felton, J.T. Hill, Taylor Hooker, Chantrice Boone, Danny Stiff, Bethany Gunn, Larry Harrell, Rachel Bell. Those worked in either the recruiting office, or one was an offensive analyst, or player personnel. Those were the seven that were fired for calls, and they will get no pay. That coming from yesterday. All right, a few other notes out there. The Lady Vols, their game against Kentucky that was to be played January the 3rd, it has now been rescheduled for January the 24th. And, of course, the Lady Vols taking on Connecticut in the We Back Pat game that's coming up on Thursday. So we look forward to that. LSU's looking at hiring Ryan Nielsen, a defensive line coach for the Saints. They're looking at hiring him as their defensive coordinator. We'll see if they can get that done. By the way, I want to address this as far as the Tennessee hiring freeze. The university as a whole has a hiring freeze, but Tennessee never said there's a hiring freeze for coaches, and they do make exceptions on coaches. If you lose a head coach, you got to hire one, right? So they can't say, well, we're not going to allow you to hire a coach. No. So the freeze was not announced by Tennessee, and while it was reported that there was a freeze for Pruitt's inability to hire a line coach, offensive line or defensive line, Tennessee never acknowledged that. I wanted to mention that because that's been out there. Also, I saw some odds on who Tennessee might hire as a football coach, and Jamie Chadwell of Coastal Carolina is high on that list. I saw this name and I thought they meant Jamie Chadwell, but they actually didn't. Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell, I saw on two different lists the odds of him getting the job. In fact, one of the odds was 3.5 to 1. I can't see that at all. That I don't get that one. But Kevin Steele was 7 to 1 in one of them. Tom Herman, 7 to 1. Lane Kiffin, 8 to 1. Gus Malzahn, 10 to 1. Peyton Manning, 33 to 1. John Gruden, 50 to 1. That was according to Sports Betting Odds. As far as the AD search, I think John Gilbert, who's now at East Carolina, Mark Ingram at UAB, Scott Carter at ETSU, Gerald Harrison at Austin Peay has been mentioned. I think Mickey Allen, who's now at Tennessee State, is another name. Reed Sigma's on the staff now. Brian Maggard from Louisiana Lafayette. David Blackburn, who was in the running last time. Those are among the candidates, so we'll see what happens there. The women's AP poll is out. Tennessee stayed in that poll. I didn't mention that yesterday. We had so many other news and notes. But Tennessee is number 25. They dropped from 23 after they blew that 17-point lead against Georgia. They came back and blew out Alabama. Louisville is number one for the first time in program history after Stanford lost. There are 7 SEC teams in the women's top 25. That tells you just how good the league is. At Ohio State, quarterback Justin Fields declaring for the NFL draft. That comes as expected. Several other Buckeyes declared, but one that's staying is wide receiver Chris Olave. He's one of the better receivers in the Big Ten. He is elected to stay at Ohio State. A few other notes. Vanderbilt looks like it might be hiring defensive coordinator Jesse Minter. He's the Ravens defensive backs coach. Vanderbilt making a lot of strides in terms of filling out that staff. The NCAA has announced its men's basketball tournament dates. The first four will be played in Dayton, March the 18th. The first round, March 19 to 20. Second round, March 21-22. Sweet 16, March 27-28. Elite 8, March 29 to 30. Final four, April 3 and 5. And I certainly hope that we have the NCAA men's tournament. Justin Phelps, folks might remember him. He was director of basketball ops at the University of Tennessee a few years back. Mm-hmm. He is now a candidate for the athletic director job at Kent State. He currently is senior vice president for National Youth Sports in Nevada. So Justin Phelps, a candidate to be the Kent State athletic director. We'll see how that one plays out. Just a couple of other notes. And John, I think this is going to happen. Well, I'll mention these two others and I'll get to them. Wide receiver Osiris Mitchell from Mississippi State is declared for the NFL draft. I'm surprised at that. He didn't have that good of a year last year. Started out strong, and then he faded away. And then Peter Malnati, golfer from Knoxville, finished in the top 15 of the Sony Open. That was in Honolulu. He shot a 62, came back with a 69, then a 64 and a 69. He won well over $100,000 as he was 16 under par. So a very solid showing there. And with the Saints, John, I think we might have seen Drew Brees for the last time. If so, that's sad. He didn't play well, didn't have a good game against the Bucs, but, God, what a great quarterback he's been for the Saints and for that city.
Oh, exactly what the franchise needed, and also the franchise was exactly what he needed. It was such an incredible pairing, and it's a shame to see his career end with as much postseason frustration as it did over the last few years, but in the end, they just couldn't overcome the turnovers. And so if indeed this was the ride off into the sunset for Drew Brees, outstanding individual effort and unbelievable impact he had on that community, that team, which also did the same for him.
Yeah, it'll be a sad moment. And then the curious thing is, what are the Saints to going forward? Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill,
mm-hmm.
Are they looking somewhere else? would they go to the draft, would they look to trade? I don't know. Interestingly, the last 2 years, Drew Brees missed 9 games and the Saints won 8 of them. And I think, and I'll give Peyton a lot of credit for that, but I just wonder going forward what direction he is going to go. I think that's going to be curious to see where the Saints go, if indeed Brees retires, which I think he will. Also, the Australian Open, so 72 players in quarantine. A number of these players are upset because they have to stay in their hotel for 14 days without leaving. That means they cannot practice tennis. Novak Djokovic, number one player in the world, upset about it. He said that they ought to move these folks to houses, let them stay in houses where maybe they, you know, the folks that have the house just kind of move out for a couple of weeks. And it's not unusual to have guest housing like that for pro athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And houses where they have tennis courts so that the players could go practice. So a lot of players are going to be at a disadvantage for not practicing for 2 weeks before the tournament starts February the 8th. So a number of players are upset about that. And then one of the players, his girlfriend, was complaining that she was unable to wash her hair properly. So Nick Kyrgios, you can imagine, he's the kind of the bombastic player from Australia, ripped into her talking about, too bad you can't wash your hair. And then he got into Novak Djokovic and called him a tool. And
all right.
So he didn't have any use for any of that. And here's what's interesting about Australia, and I'll give him some credit for this. They have 2,000 active cases, and John, Australia has had fewer than 1,000 COVID deaths. We got 400,000.
Yeah.
They've got fewer than 1,000. Now, their population is 25.4 million. The U.S. population is 330 million, so I get that. But still, when you relate that to the percentage, it's incredibly low. They've done a really good job. They shut down things right off the bat for maybe two and a half months, and then they slowly reopened things. But they did a really good job of managing this. So I give them some credit for that. But anyway, only fewer than 1,000 deaths in Australia as they have maintained really strict. They've been very vigilant about following COVID-19 protocols. And those are news and notes brought to you by Image Matters.
The lineup for Tennessee baseball in regards to their schedule for the Southeastern Conference, it's going to be 4 weekend series that are pre-conference that lead up to what is the standard schedule. And it's interesting that you were going to play last year. Tennessee was getting ready to go to South Carolina when the curtain fell, and it was going to be South Carolina in Columbia, Vanderbilt, LSU at home, at Missouri, at Alabama, first half of the schedule, home against Florida, at Georgia, home against Kentucky, at A&M, close at home against Arkansas. Well, here's how it lays out now. You have Georgia will be the host for the Volunteers. Tennessee will make that trip to Athens March 19th, or I should say scheduled to. LSU will be here week 2. Tennessee at Alabama week 3. Home for Florida and Vanderbilt back-to-back to close out the first half of the SEC schedule. That's not too much of a strength of schedule at all. At Texas A&M to start the second half of the slate. Home for Kentucky, at Missouri, home for Arkansas, closing at South Carolina. So in the schedule last year, Tennessee was going to have back-to-back road trips in weeks 4 and 5. This year, as they play the exact same opponents, just a different order, Vanderbilt and Florida come here. Tennessee does not travel on back-to-back weekends in this upcoming SEC schedule in baseball.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it shakes out, and of course, it'll be here before you know it. They actually start practice, I would imagine, as soon as school starts, which is a little bit later this week.
Really looking forward to the baseball season and for them to get in a full season. I think they're going to be really good again this year.
Tennessee, a top 20 team at number 19 in one of the preseason polls that is out. We'll get a break. We've got a lot coming your way today as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and let's say hello to Roger, who joins us. Hello, Roger.
Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm John, Jimmy. How y'all doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Doing well.
Well, good. I'll tell you what. I just want to talk about your teeth for a few minutes. It's a mess, John Jimmy. It's a mess, ain't it? It's a mess, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
So, wanted to ask y'all, but first is about what happened. But yesterday, what happened with Pruitt and yes, surprised for both of them, but Pruitt and but both of them. I mean, I know that the Pruitt he got that happened. That's why he got fired but, and let go. But you surprised about what happened? But both of them let go though.
Well, happened? To see that, Roger and Jimmy, I don't think there's any question that you knew that this was a possibility. But to see it include as many individuals as it has to this point, I guess it was a total of 10 people that were let go in one fell swoop. That is surprising. Or was it to you?
No, that surprised me. I didn't know that there would be that many. I'm not surprised that Pruitt got fired. I'm not surprised that Brian Niedermeyer was fired. I did not know about Shelton Felton. And I didn't know about the seven in a variety of roles that would be fired as well. So that caught me off guard. That tells you the scope of this deal, that there were that many people involved. And that made it pretty much impossible for Tennessee to keep Jeremy Pruitt.
It's very interesting about this, about Pruitt. I also want to ask you, Jimmy. I asked you too, Jimmy. Jimmy, is it true? I heard it. I just want to see if it's true or not. You know about this. That's why I heard it. I heard that he's suing UT for what for buyout. Jimmy, is that true? Is it true about Pruitt suing UT? That true, Jimmy? About that? That true?
I'm going to use this phrase. I'm not going to say suing. I'm going to say Pruitt has retained attorneys to make sure he gets his buyout money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you've gotten to a suit yet, but I think that there will be some litigation involving his attempt to recoup the money that he feels like he is owed.
Roger.
And I don't know if he's going to ask for $12.6 million. He may ask for something less than that. I don't know. But he has retained attorney in an effort to recoup that some of that money. If not all of that money.
Roger, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call. And the fact, Jimmy, that this internal investigation resulted in 10 people losing their jobs, it could provide. Now, again, no telling exactly, since we don't have anything that's been filed, as we understand it at this point, until you see the details into a, if any, suit that is filed against the University of Tennessee, the scope of what resulted in terminations would make this, I think, an uphill climb because, again, as you just talked about, just the scope as to how many different positions were thought to be that had a hand in this that would result in so many, in double-digit people just losing their jobs in one fell swoop.
Yeah, absolutely. We did get the statement from the attorneys, John, and we posted it on the website. We posted it in my blog. We referred to it on Twitter as well, and you can read what they had to say. But their feeling was that this was an orchestrated deal in an effort to get rid of Pruitt because basically his one loss record, not because of all the violations that were alleged to have been committed. And so it's interesting if folks have a chance to read it. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but the statement from the attorneys representing Pruitt is on our website, and you can check that out. But, yeah, there's a lot there, a lot, and they're not even through.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder what else they might uncover.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Sports Talk continues on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Credibility, honesty, and a dedication to bring you the sports information you deserve each afternoon. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes. To the phones we go. It's Ray who's up next. Hello, Ray. Hello, Ray.
Good afternoon, guys. I've listened to the program and the time and earlier today and yesterday. And, I want to go back 3 years ago when we had a big mess at the university. Now, I'm a donor. I'm a University of Tennessee. I not only give my money, but I give my time. And when you do that, you kind of take it a little bit more personally, I think. And we not, I look at myself as a diehard Tennessee fan, but, you know, enough is enough. You know, I watched the press conference. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they threw Jimmy, the head coach, under the table. He probably should deserve to be under the table. But, you know, 3 years ago, when we hired an athletic director and we ran one off, with all that mess going on, I won't bring all of it up, but it was a mess. Here we come up with Philip Fulmer, the guy they interviewed for the job, that he got turned away, but yet we found a way to hire him. And we was told the ideal, and Jimmy, you probably realize, you remember, I just bring Philip in. He knows what's going on. He knows Tennessee football, and he'll be a fresh start. That's what we need right now. We'll hire Jeremy Pruitt, and he can lead Jeremy Pruitt. He can guide Jeremy Pruitt. Well, guess what, guys? He sits back in the chair, holds his hands up. I don't know nothing. I seen nothing. I don't know nothing. Do they think we should believe that crap or what?
Well, I think it's kind of hard to just accuse a guy for like he would know everything. I don't know that he knew everything, Ray. You don't know what he knew.
Well, he's an athletic director. He's responsible for the people he hired.
That's right. But that doesn't mean he knows everything they're doing, right?
No, but he should be. I thought he was going to be looking over and guiding us. He had nothing. The way they bring it out, he did nothing wrong. We gave him a $150,000 bonus. For what? I mean, how much money are we going to give this guy over the years? To do what? To get us in a message like this? I mean, he's the one that hired the guy.
That is true.
Take some responsibility, Jimmy. I get tired of letting him take some responsibility. Don't let him throw the hand up and say, I don't know nothing.
I think that it would have been wise if Fulmer had said, I made a mistake, I own the mistake. He didn't do that.
Exactly.
I thought he could have and should have done that. And because I don't know how you would look back and say it wasn't a mistake. Not that Pruitt didn't have a chance to be a good football coach, but the way he ran that program with all the cheating that was going on, you have to give that a failing grade. So I think Phillip should have stepped up and owned that, and I didn't hear that from him.
I mean, I'm on the outside, Jimmy. I mean, we can see things are not right, even on the field. You can feel the tension among other coaches. I mean, the athletic director should have felt that too, or should have known that. So I don't know. But anyway, I just think, pardon me, it's getting rough here, but I'm just getting tired of people say, hey, you know, I don't know nothing. You give me my bonus money, and I'm going to retire again, and maybe y'all give me another contract next year or two. Another million or two. You know, we need to start looking after our money that we spend in the University of Tennessee. Quit giving these quack big-time contracts. Y'all have a good day, man. Thank you.
Yeah. And as far as the reference of the $150,000, as we mentioned, the contract for Fulmer says that each year, December the 31st, he gets a retention bonus of $150,000. So he is going to get that. They're in the process of paying him that. He'll get it at the end of January. He makes $900,000 a year. That takes him to $1,050,000. And they have not settled on what they're going to do with this contract, which runs now through December of 2023.
Let's go to Hitch. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Hitch.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. And you?
Well, just like everybody else, we've had these few sad days in the great state of Tennessee, and it's such a part of our lives and what we do and how, because we're in the South, you know, it's God, family, and football, and ingrained in us, if you will. But the last 20 years for me, guys, it wasn't that long when it was at 10, but when it kind of hit that 10-year plateau, things just never felt right going to games. Everything was a struggle. It was a hassle. But we were caught in some kind of little whirlpool or sand trap, if you will, and we could never seem to get out of it. What do you think the main reason for that is? Because we typically, you know, we had one deal we were working on, and another one would be wrapping up, and it was just crazy. But what was the main reason you think we couldn't get in the flow?
I've narrowed down to just not being able to hire the right football coach. I think that is the primary reason. You can also look to turmoil in the administration, whether it was a president or a chancellor. Maybe the athletic directors maybe didn't do a really good job in some situations with their hires. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think the whole crux of it gets down to why football has not succeeded is you haven't been able to hire the right coach.
Well, other things that I would question, just like the athletic director, when he got Donnie Tindall, you had several other people that we could talk about. But the athletic directors, to me, and I said this later, we were talking on the radio, this was before the actual getting rid of them came done, but I was saying when they were talking about players that make it, I said the biggest player in my opinion on these teams, and I mentioned Jeremy Foley in my conversation, but he is the one that I think is made Florida probably the greatest sports team across the board in the conference. And I don't know where you would find anybody you're looking at would be close to him. You've got a couple I've heard him mention today. Is there any others that you can think of? Obviously, Foley's retired, but is there anybody like him in the conference that you know of?
In the conference?
Yeah.
I got to stay in the SEC.
Really the country that's made that much difference. I don't know of one.
Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma gets praised for a lot of work he's done. Football has been tremendous under his watch, and basketball has been pretty good too. DeLoss Dodd, when he was at Texas, got a lot of praise for the things that he did. He actually had Mac Brown and Rick Barnes on the staff at the same time. I think he was a really good athletic director. In the SEC,
I think Greg Byrne is doing a nice job at Alabama. I think when you look at what is sustained success for the programs that they have had the most championship success with, football and gymnastics, they remain strong, but you also see them getting better. Baseball, of course, bottomed out, but now they're on the upswing. And basketball, I think Nate Oates has been an outstanding hire.
I'll say this, in my opinion, in the years that I've covered the SEC, and that now numbers more than 40, I would put in my top five Doug Dickey.
Yeah.
Wow, absolutely. I think he would have made a huge difference. He just seemed to have a command wherever he went. And I know we make jokes about him and stuff, the tile guy and things like that. And as you've heard me say before, I want something done about the Gators, and somebody doesn't have any fear playing them. I feel like that's something we had to overcome. But Dickey was basically so much considered a part of the Florida family, but that would have been huge to have kept him. I don't believe we'd be here now if Dickey was still here.
No, I don't think so. I thought he was a very good AD. I thought he made really – now, I'll say this. For as many good things as he did, the knock on him was he couldn't get basketball right. And I think that's fair. But when you look at everything he did in terms of keeping Tennessee out of trouble, the football program did very well for the most part during his tenure, during his years at Tennessee. A lot of other sports, I think, did pretty well. Financially, Tennessee did tremendous under his watch.
Hitch, we appreciate it. We'll get a break. A final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
I know it's hard to keep up, but we ain't slowing down. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
final segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. It's Jim who joins us next. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Good. Very good. Got a couple observations and then a question at the end. Of course, you know, everybody's, this is all in the news and everything, but, you know, I think a lot of people forget how much Coach Fulmer has meant to this program. You know, back in 98, everybody was on the bandwagon, won a national championship and probably should have won another one, except for the fiasco with LSU, but he didn't. And I think he was let go under the wrong circumstances in 2007. And at the end of the day, you know, he was exiled from the program for 8 or 10 years. And then, you know, when UT was in trouble with the coaching search, it went on for decades, it seems like, they brought him in. And I think, you know, he wasn't playing with a loaded gun. You know, it was late in the process, and I don't think, you know, he had a lot of people to choose from. Mullen had turned him down, Gundy turned him down, you know, who else knew had turned him down. But, you know, he was willing to take on the process. And admittedly, he's probably made a mistake, you know, in hiring Coach Pruitt. But, you know, I don't think he ought to be vilified, you know, for making it, because he did a lot of good things. You know, he renegotiated Barnes' contract. I think the baseball coach is wonderful, which you can probably attest to, John. He had the gumption to get rid of Holly Warlick, which should have happened 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, everybody talks about Doug Dickey. I agree, he's a great AD, but I was in school, matter of fact, in the UT band, when we went to the Gator Bowl, and he was coaching UT and knew he was going to Florida, which, you know, I don't know, it's either here or there. But, you know, my question is, after saying, I like to hear you expound on what I've said about Fulmer, but my question is, and I hope it's not true, I've heard more than once, he was shown the door. And I hope that's not the case, because in the last 40 years, him and Coach Majors have been the face of Tennessee football, and I think we need to keep that. So I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
All right, Jim.
If he was shown the door, Randy Boyd and Dondi Plowman sure did a heck of a job hiding that, because they were incredible in their praise of him, calling him a legend, and Randy Boyd saying that we're as proud of you, Coach Fulmer, as we were in January the 4th of 1998. So I think that it's probably the best move. Now, a lot of people say, well, he retired the same day. He's not retiring until they hire another AD. He may even help with the search some. But the deal with that, John, is this. With Coach Fulmer, he did have not a lot in the pool left when he came in on the search. And the hiring of Pruitt did not work out. I don't think anybody would debate that. But I don't think that he was told he had to leave, but I agree with the premise that it's better for the next athletic director to hire that person, because whoever comes in knows that Fulmer's not going to be around here much longer. So are you going to take that job knowing you're going to have another boss? I think that hurts your pool of candidates even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense to hire an AD, and that AD hires the new football coach. I think that, to me, I think that's logical. I've got no problem with it. Do you see that any differently, John?
No, I think that makes the most sense. Now, as you mentioned during news and notes, you kind of have a program right now that has some openings it has to address. I don't know that Kevin Steele, as the interim head coach in the program, can afford to just have some positions that need to be filled. So there's a little interesting, you just wonder exactly if you can fill those spots before indeed you get an AD and a head coach, because you know a head coach would definitely like to have his guys or guys that he makes the hire if there are openings on the staff. So to me, that is something that you're not exactly sure in the margin of this conversation how things should proceed.
Well, and I think that they're going to clear that up with Steele by the end of the week, as we'd mentioned. Give him a couple of days. I think that Steele's going to have the leeway to hire those coaches. Right now, you got 4 vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to let him hire all 4.
Right.
I think he's going to have the authority to hire some to fill this thing out a little bit. And I still say this: the AD won't be hired probably at least for another month, and then it's going to take him another month to try to hire somebody. I think Kevin Steele is going to be the acting head coach this fall. I think that's the way it's going to play out.
Wow. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Jim, we appreciate the call. We'll get a break. Up next, hour number two of Sports Talk. We look forward to being joined by our own Vince Ferrara. He joins us next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.